Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The Christian life is a life of paradox. Paradox is action that yields an unexpected result. And the reason that the Christian life is a life of paradox is that it is based upon faith in Jesus, who is the man of paradox. Jesus' whole life and death and resurrection speak to and inform the meaning of the term paradox. When Jesus is involved in the things of the world, this world, the result is never what is expected. Why? Why? Because he is the man who is also God. He is the God-man. He was born of a virgin. Can anyone else claim that? He had no sin, but he became sin. Anyone claim that? He had no sin, but he ate and ran around with sinners. Ditto. He was all powerful, but lay down that power to die for humanity. Can anyone else claim that? By his death, he conquered death. He died, but he was raised from the dead to new life and now lives forever. He died so that we can live again. Can anyone claim that? Jesus is paradox, personified in the flesh of humanity as the Son of God. Even in our personal struggles, you and I, we see the effect of Jesus and his paradox. For you see, normally, when a war is won and over, there are no more battles to be fought. Jesus won the war over sin, death, and the devil. Yet the battles continue to be fought in and among those who believe in him, in you and I. For those of us who believe in Jesus, a battle is being fought for each of us. As baptized, born again, spiritually regenerated believers in Christ. You see, dear ones, the devil and his demons want you back. The devil possessed us all at one time. When we were born, we were his property. Before we were baptized with word and water, before the Holy Spirit brought us to faith, we were children of the devil, not only dead in sin, but rebellious toward God. But by water and the Spirit and the Word, we are spiritually born again as God's children. But even though we are spiritually born again, we continue to be sinners. We are at the same time sinners and saints. The sinner, on the one hand, is attracted to the world, lied to by the devil, and lust after the things of the sinful flesh. The saint, on the other hand, lives by the Word of God, is inhabited by the Holy Spirit. And being holy, he desires the things of God. So we are at war, spiritual war in spiritual battles against the world, the devil, and our flesh. First, the world tempts us. The world says to us, have a good time. Put all your trust in the things of the world, the beautiful things, the things you see and hear and touch and taste and smell. But dear ones, the things of the world are temporary and corrupted. They are passing away before our very eyes. Even that $40,000 car that looks so shiny and bright today will be rust in 25 years or less, headed for the junkyard. But Christ's victory guarantees that when he comes again, the heavens and the earth will pass away, then be made new and perfect again. Secondly, as believers in Christ, we are no longer under the devil's control, but the lies of the devil continue to pester us. The devil tells us that we have just done too much to be forgiven. He whispers in our ears, "How many times do you think God will forgive you for doing those nasty things you do? Do you really think Jesus died to pay for your sins? The ones you do over and over, even the things you do behind closed doors that you think no one knows about? Do you think God is really going to forgive you?" Those are his lies. For you see, the devil doesn't want us to repent. He doesn't want us to confess our sins and believe we are forgiven because of what Christ has done for us. He wants us to join him in living the only unforgivable sin, unbelief. But the devil has already been defeated. He is defeated but continues to lie and pester. But when Christ comes again, the devil will be cast into the lake of fire. He won't be in charge of hell. He will be suffering in hell with all the demons that followed him and all the humans that followed him. He will suffer eternal punishment and torment. Thirdly, we battle daily with our corrupted and sinful flesh. Even after the Word of God gives us new spiritual life in the waters of baptism, the sinful flesh of the old Adam battles against the new man of faith, the new Adam who now lives in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Our old sinful flesh lusts for the things of the flesh, things that only temporarily satisfy the flesh. For you see, the flesh can never get enough. Never get enough. Things like drugs, forbidden things like sex outside the marriage bond, and homosexuality. Our sinful flesh is subject to diseases like cancer, venereal diseases, and many other types of diseases. But when Christ resurrects our bodies, our new flesh will not ever be corrupted again by sin or made sick again. Our resurrected flesh will be like Christ, as you heard in our gospel reading, and we will live forever. Those are some of our battles against the world, the devil, and our flesh. We see evidence of these battles within us as we live our lives as Christians. We, like Paul, do things we don't want to do and don't do things we want to do. Thanks be to God for these battles and the tension they create within us, because they are evidence of our new spiritual lives lived by faith in the one who brings unexpected results. Jesus Christ, who brings forgiveness, not the judgment and punishment we should expect according to our own doings. These struggles against the world, the devil, and our flesh are being fought as part of the great tribulation. We now live in the great tribulation, a period of great testing and trial. But Christ provides for us as we go through the great tribulation. For you see, we are baptized children of God. We confess our sins to God, not doubting, but firmly believing we are forgiven. As we live our lives in this sinful world, our white baptismal robes of righteousness become stained by our sin and by the sin of the world around us. When we repent by confessing our sins and believing in God's forgiveness in Christ, our baptismal robes are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Again, paradox. Our white baptismal robes are made clean in the red blood of the Lamb of God, as white as they were on the day of our baptisms. These are the robes that John refers to in our Revelation text when we hear from one of the elders in heaven that they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Another of Jesus' paradoxes. Dear ones, your baptismal robes are cleansed when you confess your sins and receive absolution. And when you come to the Lord's table and drink his blood, in the few years that I've been around here. We've lost some dear members in Christ to death. They had their struggles while they were here on earth, just like we have our struggles now. They were sinners who were also saints by faith in Christ. Their bodies now await the return of Christ when they will be resurrected to new life. So will we begin to await His return and our resurrection from the dead, really in just a few days, on the day we die. I mentioned just a few of the ones we have lost recently. I mentioned Harriet Hines, Ralph and Dottie Mertz, Donna and Arnold Corte, Jerry Stewart, Connie Bowling, Ruth Hess, Inez Anderson. I'm sure that there are others. I'm sorry if I've missed their names. But we will soon join these in death, awaiting Jesus' return. We will be in heaven, quoting, "Before the throne of God, there all the saints will serve Him day and night in His temple, and He who sits on the throne will shelter them with His presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." There are times in life, like the deaths of our sainted loved ones, when we are brought to tears. But our Lord Christ has made more than adequate provision for us. He has led us to springs of living water. Even now in this life also, the living waters of holy baptism that give us hope and life eternal. And He has given us His life-giving blood to wash our baptismal robes and make them white and sinless again. He has given us His resurrected body to give us eternal life. You get the whole Jesus when you come to the Lord's table, not just a piece of His body, not just a piece of His flesh, not just a little sip of His blood. You get the whole Jesus comes to you to be present with you physically and spiritually. This morning, we welcome with joy these eight among us in white robes, our eight confirmands. In white robes, with white stoles, with red embroidered images of the Spirit, the white, pure righteousness of Christ, accented by the red of His redeeming blood and the life of the Holy Spirit within them. We welcome you eight into the church. In just a few minutes, you'll be confirmed communicant members. You've been instructed in the Word of God, and we welcome you to the table of our Lord Jesus. The table is the Lord Jesus' table, but we welcome you as His church, as His holy people. We love you. We're proud of you. Not with the pride of the devil, but with the pride of humility that is paradox in Christ. A pride that bows its head and opens its hands to humbly receive the gifts of God in Christ. We welcome you to the table of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though the world, the devil, and your sinful flesh test you and give you occasion for tears in this world, the day will come when God in Christ will wipe away every tear from your eyes. Come in a few moments to the table of our Lord. For you see, you begin the dawn of a new day in Christ. The only 100% pure and sinless red blood in all of creation that can make stained robes white again makes your baptismal robes clean again. Come to the table of our Lord Jesus Christ. Eat his body, drink his blood. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.